Reading from the Brihadbhagavatamrita, chapter 7, text 15 and 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Naradastu Kutagaskyam Ivatmanam Mamanyata Devanam Yadavanam Cha Sange Ganna Kutubala Viyatyanta Vito Bhutva Padvaikam Yoga Pattakam Nirishta Bhagavat Krishta Madhuyanu Pavayasa. Narada, however, thinking he had committed an offense, did not accompany the demigods and the Yadavas. Instead, with great curiosity, he hid himself in the midst of the sky, fixing himself in a yoga sitting posture to observe the sweetness of the Lord's acts. Commentary, it was Narada who had made Krishna so unsettled by mentioning the present state of the Vrajavasis. Narada therefore thought himself an offender. In fact, he had not acted offensively, as Krikshit Maharaj here indicates with the word eva, as if. Later in this chapter, you shall hear Krishna explain why Narada should not blame himself. Om Ajana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurin Militam Jena Tasmai Si Girave Nama Vairagya Yudhbhakti Visham Payatnai Apayama Manadipshamandam Kapambuhiya Paradhuka Dhugi Sanatanastam Prabhamasayami Vancha Kauta Tarujyasta Vipasindhu Bayevita Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from the Giriraj Govardhan Hill. We are entering the last week of Kartik. I remember what my godbrother Srila Satchinandana Swami told me, a story where one sadhu kind of chided him and said, are you chanting the mantra or the mantra is chanting you? And I understood the difference to mean, chanting the mantra means by your effort, and is the mantra chanting you? It means when the mantra descends, by mercy. Even one friend of mine told me a namvrata that he did for 7 days in the Himalayas. It wasn't a particular sadhaka, just had some inspiration, and he would sit and chant 64 rounds and cover his face with a cloth. He would do it at once. And it was nirjan. Nirjan means without any people. He would eat once a day, and then And he described the first day, so many bad thoughts were coming. Then the second day, some good thoughts. Towards the end of his 7 days, the name was just crystal clear. And his desire was for spiritual experience. And then at one time, the name was coming out of his mouth faster than he can chant it. I have a sense of that to some degree in Kartik. But then it became so sweet for him that in his mind he was thinking, I wish millions and millions of ears, I wish millions and millions of tongues. And then he realized, oh my God, that's what Sanatan Goswami had experienced and said. And then his desire for spiritual experience was fulfilled. It's quite an amazing place, Govardhan in Kartik. If you make the effort to enter into the holy place, because it's just an amazing phenomena, where it's not just a place of spiritual, but intense. I don't know how many kirtan parties. The other day I went to Radha Kund, this was Srila Prabhupada's appearance day. Some people came that I was to take around. One was a very nice man from New York, very nice, who has a yoga studio and he's an architect. Another was a lady who was a disciple of Hari Prasad, the famous flute player. She was from Canada. And a few people. And somehow they came and they heard and they contacted me. And so they came out for Prabhupada's disappearance day. So after lunch, we went to Radha Kund. We went there by kirtan. And it's a really amazing thing how doors open up when you take shelter of the holy name. Anyway, we're doing kirtan, in the middle of our kirtan, and it was beautiful. The sisters, Janavi and Tulsi, were leading in a phenomenal bhav, devotion, and the animation. And in the Radha Gopinath Mandir by the bank of Radha Kund, they began to sing, and Brijbasi started to circle around it. Radha Kund, I mean, there's a lot of people who are practicing, you know, Bengalis and things that come there to practice during the month of Kartik. It's like their Christmas vacation, whatever it is. And people started to surround us, and the girl who is the disciple of the flute player started playing. Then Mahanidhi, who does kirtan every evening, came with his, and beautiful kirtan. And then watching just kirtan group after kirtan group coming, you know, really classy. It was a very moving experience. Of course, Prabhupada's disappearance itself is wonderful out here in Govardhan. Anyway, everyone speaks to their heart's content, which is about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, but we had so many nice scenes. Satchinandana Swami was here, Gopi Pranadana, Bhuri John, Vaisheshika Prabhu, Jayadvaita Swami, and a few others. And but I was telling on Wednesday, many of them don't go on, but what really, offerings were wonderful. Even Bhuri John made this incredible slideshow that he showed at the beginning. What really stole the show in my mind is when my two god sisters spoke, and the cooler wife of Vaisheshika Prabhu, and Sitala, if you don't know, she's married to Harisari. And they not only were articulate, but the sense that they were explaining how 34 years after Srila Prabhupada's, or 33 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, how much they were still feeling the pain of separation and how their only solace was to hear his glories. And it was very, very wonderful. And Mother Srimati was there in advance, so I talked to her. And in a humorous way, she was joking with me the defect of men is their emotive capacity is not highly developed in general. Not as much, and you could see that they spoke, and I just thought, wow, after so many years, such deep separation. And it creates in that mood when everyone is unified in love and devotion, it creates something beyond your own personal feelings that you can enter into that pervades the atmosphere, which is called bhava. It is like being in Vrindavan. The devotional feelings are not just within you, they're surrounding you. You can bathe in them. It's so thick. I think I experienced that a little bit today. You know, the group from Russia came. Sometimes I speak about a very nice lady there called Anna. Today she was initiated. Her name is Ananda Govardhan. But these ladies, very, very, very nice people. And Alex is here. Some of you know Alex, who's an actor in Washington and is in the connected with Yogi and his center when he was in NYU studying, and he's here. And what a wonderful day. We did half Govardhan one day and half Radhakund. And we went to Govardhan. We went into the village of Aniwa, and we did Madhukari, where the sadhus that live around the hill, the way they get food is they just walk around the hill. They go Radhe, Radhe to different Brahmins' homes that have been cooking for the sadhus for hundreds and hundreds of years. So we went. It was so beautiful. And we got some Vrijvasi rotis. Nothing, no food you can ever mention is as good as this. The hot flatbreads that they cook. And then Satchinandana Swami shuts himself off from the world. And he on the bank of Govindakund, there's this ashram like a fortress. I mean, you don't even know how to get in, but inside it's just so beautiful. And overlooks Govindakund and Govardhan Hill. And somehow I had the number of the assistant. So he said, if you come over the group, he'll speak to us. So we went in, we got darshan, the beautiful kirtan. And he spoke also very nicely that real bhajan, real chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra means that you have a personal relationship with Krishna and you talk to him and he responds. And talking to him means that your spiritual practices should have a question, and when you're in front of Govardhan Hill, you should ask that question. He describes it as Madhavendra Puri, and the tree where Madhavendra Puri sat is in that ashram. It's on a very it's like high in the air. It's on this huge platform. There's this tree, and you sit overlooking the Kund. And he asked the question to Govardhan Hill constantly, Krishna, where are you? And then Krishna appeared one day when he was in ecstasy, sleeping, and woke him up and thought he was hungry and gave him some milk. That was Krishna. So he said real spiritual practice means sambandha. And sambandha means a dialogue. We ask Giriraj, and Giriraj responds. And it's no doubt that the faith is so strong here. Anyway, we went around, and then today we went around to Radhakund, had wonderful kirtans, and it's just a rich, 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 rich spiritual atmosphere that increases as the month goes on. So very, very encouraging here. Now, in the particular pastime we're at, we know that when Narada comes to the palace looking for the topmost devotees, and a discussion ensues about the suffering of the residents of Vrindavan in separation from Krishna, And the conversation becomes so intensified that when Krishna is listening to their suffering, he grabs Balaram's neck, begins to cry deeply, rolls on the ground, and then falls into a emotional catatonic state due to the intensity of love for his devotees in Vrindavan, whom he is separated from. And then the whole palace and the entourage and the villa, everybody starts sobbing, and Krishna goes out of consciousness with Balaram, which alarms Lord Brahma, who's the chief executive of the universe. It alarms him. So he comes to see what the problem is, and he's startled because his father and guru, which is God, which is Narayan, is now in the full manifestation of Krishna, sobbing piteously in separation from the devotees he loved. And that type of emotional release is a revelation of the full personality of Krishna. It's no longer hidden. In response to the reverence and awe and fear of those who worship him in his full majesty, but not his full loving personality, which is his real glory. And although he came before the Braj and saw the sweet, sweet Madhurya dealings between the Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, he never saw this level of revelation of heart. And even Lord Brahma, with all his pundits and all his learning, loses his sobriety and also begins to weep. Then he controls himself and begins to solve the problem and comes up with the solution, because a good manager, he solves problems. So Lord Brahma is the top one. So you can imagine the level of his intelligence to manage things. And he understands that immediately. He understands, yes, what we should do is, he calls Garuda, his carrier. That's not his carrier, but he calls Garuda, who's the carrier of Vishnu, to somehow transport Krishna Balaram to another Vrindavan, which was constructed outside of Dwarka by the architect of the demigods, Vishwakarma, who's unparalleled in his expertise. So he duplicates, he replicates down to the finest details Vrindavan in these statues. I don't know if they're made out of wax or whatever, fiberglass, whatever. These statues, including all the bushes and the different things and the gunja berries and the kadamba flowers, the kadamba trees. And very, very carefully, once Garuda has gained his composure, who also fainted seeing his lord in this condition, and transports him to another Vrindavan, but only takes Rohini, who was a Vrindavasi. She lived in Vrindavan, Balaram's mother. The other queens, who are Dwarka Basis from Dwarka, they cannot come, because the plan is to, in Krishna's emotional state of separation, to trick him that he's returned to Vrindavan so that he can come out of that state. The other queens, they couldn't leave Krishna behind, but they understood, and they The Brahmins request they hid themselves so they can view things but not see some. So Narada, who is there, he's think he committed offense, so he doesn't go. He stays in a yoga pose in the sky. And of course, this exemplifies what is the nature of a devotee. You know, filled with love, you think you have none. You want more, and that sense of more makes you feel like you have none. Vrajati Shore, he wrote an analogy, he said, like someone who's a heroin addict. When they're full, you know, the more they get, have, the more they want, the more they think they don't have. So it's like that. You have so much love that you're hankering more and more for love and you think you don't have any. And at the same time, you're humble because love is experienced from the perspective of the seeing, not the seer. When you go to see the deities, what darshan means is the deities see you. They're the seer. You're the seen. The servant is the seen. It's not the prominent position, but it's the position by which you can serve and love, and that is the position the devotee relishes. And feeling deep humility enables the devotee to experience God's mercy, which is flowing. But it flows to one who is humble, naturally. The grateful soul feels love. The ungrateful soul does not feel love. It's not a question of whether the love is coming or not. It's a question, what is your attitude in receiving it? So, kind of lost my place here, but I'll get back there. Oh, yes, Narada Muni. So he's a soul filled with love. He's feeling very humble. Clear heart also exposes fault more than a dirty heart. So the irony is, and we've seen it all the time, that someone who has the most faults can't see any. And those who have no faults see more. The pure is humble. And therefore, they're more likely to see mistake, even sometimes when there is none, when there's a shadow of the mistake, but not the mistake itself. So we're always introduced in the Brihad Bhagavatam, we think it's so wonderful, to what is spiritual consciousness. So that's Narada. Now we'll listen to the story, which is quite amazing. I don't know if I can speak philosophy. I think we just have to relish. It says when Gurjan spoke to Radha Govinda Swami, who's a great Bhagavatam reciter, and he said, how do you study the Bhagavatam? He says, I don't. I just relish. And actually, that's the higher way in which to approach scripture. It can't be done artificially. First, we're hearing the scripture in terms of instruction. You have to surrender to God. You have to surrender to God. You have to surrender to Guru. If you want to be in the position to open the door to bhakti and experience love, but when you have firm faith in the shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, in the shelter of that relationship is shelter. Because the need of the soul is to fill the heart with love. And the object of divine love is the Supreme Lord. So late at night, or sometimes, you know, if I forget, anyway. So, yes, I remember now. Haribo, 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 Haribo. The relish. But when you're actually convinced, then you read the Bhagavatam in terms of your relationship with Krishna, and you just relish. And that kind of relish gives you a realization of the subject matter that allows you to express it. So now we'll relish. Guru Dasya Pare Jomna Sitva Pra Yaksham Atmana Prakshabhyam Yam Acharam Chayam Anjavar Tatatam Padum. Garuda positioned himself even higher in the sky, invisibly following his master to provide shade with his wings. Ata Krishna Dijapkapta Krishnena Swastakam Viva Tam Sarvatam Abhipraitya Vichakshana Shiromani. After a few minutes, Krishna's brother came back almost to normal consciousness. At best of discerning thinkers, Vichakshana, Shiramani, the crest jewel of Vichakshana, Abhipreta, of insightful people, and therefore Sarva Artam, the entire situation, Abhipreta, he could understand. So Balaram is Guru Tattva. There's Samasti Guru, there's Vyasti Guru. Samasti Guru means the general principle of Guru. The Guru is Krishna. And Vyasti Guru is the person who, through which that principle one accesses in a personal relationship of faith and service. The Balaram is the Adi Guru, the original Guru. He's the Guru Tattva. He's the reality of Guru. And therefore, he is the most discerning and intelligent. And somehow or other, as he's the servitor of Godhead, even though he was in that same separation, and seeing Krishna's mood that affected him so deeply, he comes back to normal consciousness almost. And then he understands the situation. He understands, oh, what's going on. This is New Vrindavan, and they've brought Krishna here to revive him. Shipram Swasya Nujasyapi Samarja Vadana Bhujam Pastro Dhanvatare Vamshim Shringa Vetre Chahastiyo Kante Kadamba Malam Cha Paharpidam Chamurdhani Navam Gunja Vaktam Sam Cha Karnayor Meditation. One second here, there's a second. Okay. be right with you. Okay. Balaram quickly cleaned his own lotus face and that of his younger brother. Then he gently placed the flute in the waist of Krishna's dhoti, a buffalo horn and stick in Krishna's hands, a garland of kadamba flowers around his neck, a peacock ornament. Bhaktivedam. And newly fresh fashioned rings of gunja berries in his ears. So he puts Krishna in the vesh or dress of a brijvasi, which is so sweet, although Krishna in Dwarka is dressed more or less like a king. So now, when Krishna is going to wake up, he's going to see, you know, he's in this dress, and they're hoping that that will convince him that he's in Vrindavan. But it's a nice description. Flute in the waist of Krishna's dhoti, so you can imagine that, and a buffalo horn and a stick in Krishna's hand, a garland of kadamba flowers in his neck, a peacock feathered ornament on his head, and gunja berries on his ears. These are all very beautiful things. Lachitva vanya vesham twastir kalpita vastuvi valaduta payam dhritva kavi uchattareshvatrai. That's having arranged a forest outfit for Krishna with items made by Vishvakarma. Balaram, with some effort, lifted Krishna and then spoke to him loudly. Balaram dressed himself, and the special items were not really available in Dwarka. They're native to Braja. The Vishvakarma, who had all the creative skills of demigods, I'm mostly reading from the commentary, had made convincing substances in place of the real kadambas, the gunji berries, and so on. Sri Baladeva Vacha, Sri Krishna Krishna Bhavatur Utishto Tishta Jagrihe Pasyadya Vela Tikanta Vishanti Pachavovanum. Sri Baladev said, Sri Krishna, Krishna, my dear brother, get up, get up. Wake up from your sleep. Just see, it is now getting late. The cows are already entering the forest. They're trying to convince Krishna that he's overslept. And when you have an important duty and then you oversleep, it could be very startling and get you into the motion of that activity. Shidamadya vayayasa stitta baba rupekshaya snehena pitaro kinchin nishakto basitum siddhi. Shidam and your other friends are here waiting for you, and your parents are so filled with love that they cannot even speak to you. So now Baladev is so intelligent, he's going to present why, you know, Krishna's in a very half-conscious state. He's waking out of this deep emotional state. They know this. So they know they can convince him why the statues, why the parents are stationary. Because they're so filled with love. They're stunned. That's actually a legitimate ecstatic state. And that your friends are waiting for you probably means that they put the statues in the distance of, let's read, Krishna friends are responsible to the cows. So when the impatient cows started to go ahead, the boys should have followed them. The following indicates that the boys were too attached to Krishna to leave without him. Krishna's mother and father should have called Krishna to get up out of bed and go after the cows. But Nanda and Yasoda, according to Balaram, were also distracted by ecstasy and fast. However, Nanda, Yasoda, the cowherd boys, and the other Navavrindavan Vasis were unconscious dolls, immobile, and unable to say or do anything to respond to any attempt Krishna might make to communicate with them. Pasyantyaste mukham bhojam ima gopya parasparam karna karna tiya kinchit vadantyastham basanti. These gopis are watching your lotus feet and laughing at you as they whisper something into one another's ears. The gopis might be commenting to one another about why Krishna is still so tired late in the morning. They know that Krishna has been awake through most of the night, enjoying with his beloved. And they might be noticing signs of this on Krishna's lotus feet. Sri Parikshit said, in this way, Balaram filled the scene with talk. He called Krishna by various names, caressed him, and dragged him around in his arms until Krishna finally got up and came back to some sort of consciousness. Krishna uttered the word, Shiva, Shiva, and suddenly stood up, a look of surprise in his face. Krishna opened his lotus eyes, smiled, and quickly looked around. Seeing Nanda in front of him, he felt embarrassed and bowed down. Krishna saw Mother Yasoda also standing nearby, her eyes open wide and unblinking, as if pasted onto her face. Laughing in joy, he lovingly spoke, Dear Mother, this morning during my sleep, I saw many amazing things in just a short moment, as if I were awake. Now he's thinking that his whole life in Dwarka was just a dream. So he's thinking that way. I saw that I had gone here to Madhupuri. There I saw wicked men like Kamsa slain, kings like Jarasandha vanquished, and the demigods satisfied. A great city called Dwarka was built on the shore of the ocean, and so many other things happened. But now there isn't time to tell you all about them. It's because this long dream distracted me that I didn't get out of bed on time like every other day. So now it's going to explain how Krishna was revived, but obviously the pastime is revealing the purna, the complete perfection of the residence of Vrindavan and the depth of love. Anyway, that's what I prepared today. Would anybody like to ask any questions?
Maharaj?
Yeah, Maharaj.
Harimau.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I had asked you about the question of whether we understand this narrative to be the product of Sanatana Goswami's own kind of yogic direct experience, or whether it's his way of articulating, you know, he knows Krishna so well, he finds the right format to articulate Krishna's heart and things like that. How do you, any luck on that or no?
Well, I think when you get deep into spiritual life, you really realize that there's a complete other dimension. And you have faith that people can enter and contact that dimension. Now, how they are able to communicate it and what it means to us may vary according to our auditory. but in that sense, was it poetic license? Was it a reality that he used poetic license to express? I'm sure there had to be some poetic license. The idea is he's communicating a reality. How literally it's done, you know, I'm really not sure. I could ask Gopi Pranadana what he, you know, like references, you know. Like we know, for example, that Jaivadam is just a novel. It's not stated that this is just a novel, you know. I mean, it's just, there's another reality, and how that's expressed, I'm not quite sure. But certainly we know that the Baba and the expressions are reality. Where are you, Mooney?
I'm here. I just didn't want to interrupt you. Okay. I mean, really, from my perspective, either answer is fine. I'm not of the mind that it's being used.
I could go to Gopi Pranadana and actually give him a call and just ask him, you know, as a scholar for, you know, any references or something, you know.
Yeah.
You know, about this particular work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's in a history or if it's an internal meditation or if it's a composition based on spiritual experience, you know, and understanding of rasa, you know. I wouldn't be surprised if some leeway is used to communicate, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know. That's my answer. Yeah. Anything else?
No, thanks. It was a nice class today. I appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, it's like pinching yourself. I mean, it's very deep here. And the Sangha, you know, I got Bori John living next door, and I'm producing a documentary film on Govardhan. Right?
Oh, wow.
Producing it means I have a friend I know for like 30 years. He's a devotee, and he's a award-winning documentary filmmaker, you know. So I just had he lives in Mayapur. I had to just fly in here, get him a room, get him an assistant, you know. And, you know, so he's going around, and you really see amazing things. Today is Gopastami, the first day that Krishna took out the cows, you know, and the place is packed. And you know what the amazing thing is? In there, you know, you see these huge traffic jams, right? You know, like it's like half the road is being repaired, you know? So you have this thing where you have all the cars going one way and all the cars going the other way, right? And then trucks and buses trying to make these narrow turns into the whole thing. And I'm walking back from Govardhan. You know, barely can't even get between the cars. And, you know, sometimes you watch it. I mean, an American would be going out of his mind if he was in one of those cars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's something about Indians, you know what I'm saying? That they're okay, you know. I mean, anybody would ride their car to Govardhan on a day like this. It has to be absolute abject insanity, you know. I would just, you know, park my car somewhere there and walk 15 minutes rather than trying to get my car around the thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I had a group yesterday, so they came in. I didn't know it was Gopastami, right? I had no idea. So this group came in, and then when I sent them off, it took them 2.5 hours to get back, right? And when they came back this morning, you know, they're not like full devotees, you know, just one or two of them, right? And they're, you know, very kind of established people, and they like to come. This is the third time most of them came. They come every year. I could see that, you know, they got a little fried, you know, and then they came back up here. But I just saw, you know, how the spiritual energy, you know, enlivened them again. But because I made plans, I figured out how they can get out without having to experience that. But it's just an amazing thing, the whole... it's just like a lot of life and a lot of devotion. It's good. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Govardhan Bhakta, Hare Krishna Govardhan, thank you. I remember his seat took you around, so I'm over here by him, by his place in Govardhan. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Chris, Pennsylvania.
Did she contact you yet, Leela?
Yes, she did. I'm all set.
Okay, she's great. I mean, she took these people around from, that came from New York. They loved it. I mean, she's great. I will be in Vrindavan when you come.
Okay, great. Is there anything else you need for us to bring?
And why don't you bring me, this is actually nice that you asked, get some... throat lozenges, like I think Fisherman Friends are good, you know. So,
okay.
You know, because sometimes I'm speaking, and that's about it, I think, right now. But, anyway, it'll be great. At least, but somehow the arrangement now is I'm coming to Vrindavan the 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and then 24th. I have to go back to Govardhan. So,
great.
And she'll take care of you, and you know, I'll be giving class every afternoon. And
that'll be great.
Yeah. Okay. So, looking forward to seeing you there, Chris.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Are we supposed to send a car for you to pick you up?
Yes.
Is that
from,
the idea?
Hopefully from
okay.
Delhi over to Vrindavan on
the
21st.
Okay, send the information again to me.
Okay?
Okay, I'll get right on it. Just send me an email. Thanks. Anybody else
Thank
like
you,
to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Hanan. It's Surit.
Oh, wait. Haven't heard from you for a while. Nice that you're on. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Can I ask you a quick question, Maharaj?
Sure.
It's something that I read about your japa reflection. You spoke about the connection between, I guess, being grateful or remembering how devotees were kind to us, if I understood it right, and japa. And, and I'm curious if you can speak a little bit more about it, if it's something you practice, or it's just a little bit more about this and connection with all
of them. What I do generally is I try not to write anything when I'm chanting. You know, and when I chant, I'm chanting more rounds, but every 16 rounds I chant without distraction. I don't do anything else. You know? So then afterwards I write. I mean, it's been terribly, terribly busy because now people are coming to me to take them around. So I have to chant and take them around. There's not much time for writing. But that, it's just a realization I had that that our ability to feel love for Krishna, to feel love for the Holy Name, is dependent on the kind of kindness that we feel. You know, feeling of kindness is so important because to have taste, there must be feeling. And one of the main ways that feeling is involved is when we feel kindness, when we feel love. So I was reflecting on that sometimes it's good before chanting or even during chanting to, you know, remember those people that we really appreciate and that have touched us and moved our heart. Remembering the kindness that we've experienced in life. Because that'll generate some feeling in the heart, which is very nice for chanting. Does that make sense to you, Anand?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much. It makes a lot of sense.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you so much. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hari Om, Maharaj. Chaitanya Priya.
Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Priya. You're calling all the way from Seattle, right? Yeah. Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
What's that? Okay,
Hare
hello.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay. Nanda Dulal. Very nice. Good. Praying you'll visit us soon. Thank you.
Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for class.
Who's that? Who is it?
Indrani. Good morning.
Mother Indrani.
Thank you for class.
Haribo.
Haribo.
Is this Mother? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody
okay.
else like to say hello?
Thank you for class, Maharaj.
Henry, I'm with your friend Alex. In fact, he's having an incredible time. I mean, he's just been here for 2 days, and he's just having experience after experience. And one thing he told me today, he was expressing how you're one of his really close friends. He told me that today. Good. Anybody? Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Shastra Das.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hello, Shastra. Hey, I'm Shastra. Wonderful. Shastra, I think there's already 80 people coming to Puri. It's going to be a big yatra this year. Yeah.
Hi.
Gail, what is the prize? Nice to hear from you. Thank you for coming on, Gail. It's always great.
Nice to be on, always.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for the class.
Wow. Yeah, your man Alex is here. I mean, he's really having a time, you know? I mean, doors are opening up minute by minute. it's just rich with the people. I mean, it's not just, you know, you see Bridge Bosses, but the people here that are practicing Krishna consciousness, it's just so different from what the world usually is. You know, people in very high states of blissful consciousness. You know, so practicing Krishna consciousness. And, you know, I mean, that's what a retreat means. That's what a, yeah. Okay, very nice. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Gopa Kishore.
Gopa, Hare Bol. Wow.
Hare Bol.
Yeah. We got a nice crowd today. That's great. I felt inspired today, you know, I can tell before I speak when I, because I went to Radhika and then I walked there with these people. It was just nice. And I was a very full day starting from 2 in the morning. And anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end for now. Vanchakalpa, Thirubhisya, 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 Patitanam, Pavana, Yogeshya, Yogeshya.